Thank you for being here today and to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Come on, come on. That's awesome. I love it. Real quick, I just want you to know that if you're interested in knowing more about Hope Church, we have purpose classes, okay? So if you're newer to us, next week I'm going to have a purpose class where you can get together with me, ask questions about the church. It will be in that room, right in the foyer there, starting at 9:15. So you are all invited. If you have not ever come to that class, you're new or you've been here less than a year, come on out and meet with me next week, okay? So I just want you to know that is happening. I'm excited about today. A lot of rain out there today. My goodness. I think the whole worship team got baptized on their way in. They did. I know I did. My goodness. Today's message is called Back from the Dead. Okay, as part of our Abide series we've been doing over the last few weeks, the last words of Jesus. And by the way, my name is Pastor Kevin St. Clair. If I haven't met you, I would absolutely love to meet you today. I will be hanging around, so come and say hi before you leave, okay? And for that matter, stick around and just say hi to everybody, right? And wish them a great Easter. All right. Well, let's get started. There are currently 500 cryogenically frozen bodies and brains stored worldwide. Did you know that? 500. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, you can get in line. All right, you can get in line. You might be surprised to know that there are over 5,000 people right now waiting in line to have this done upon their immediate death. And most of those people live right here in the United States. Yeah, the going rate is $220,000 to cryogenically freeze your entire body, but it's only $80,000 if you just want to freeze your brain. Okay? For me, I just go over to Sonic and grab a slushie. Immediate brain freeze right there. Immediate brain freeze. It happens every time. I don't know why I do that. Maybe it's like the secret to life or something. I don't know. Well, these individuals, all right, are being preserved, not primarily for the sake of medical study. If that were the case, they would just have donated their remains, but rather in hope for future revival. Doesn't that say a lot? I mean, just think about that for a minute. They want to live again. And so they have placed their hope in medical technology that someday it will be advanced enough to bring them back from the dead. The first man to do this successfully, not be brought back from the dead, but to cryogenically freeze himself, the first man to do this successfully was frozen back in 1967. If you can believe that. His name was James Bedford. And James battled with terminal cancer in his life. And he died at the age of 73. And his body is still at a facility in Arizona today, parked right next to baseball legend Ted Williams. It's true. So for nearly six decades, James has been awaiting his personal resurrection. What on earth prompted him to do this? Well, if you read his story, back in 1938, that's some time ago, huh? 1938, he was quoted saying, "Many young people face the future with feelings of doubt, cynicism, and despair." And so he hoped he could alleviate that despair with, of all things, putting our hope in the potential resurrection of the body. Consequently, Bedford can be preserved in suspended animation for the next 20,000 years, waiting arrival. I don't know if he's going to make it that long. But you know what? People have always looked for hope in every generation. Right? And think about this quote that came from 1938. When James said that, it was toward the end of the Great Depression. And only 1 year later, World War II began. But I think we've experienced freedom and a technology revolution since that time. And if you look around today, you would think that quote was from yesterday. With all that has gone on in the world and all that is going on in people's lives and in our hearts, there is still the same pandemic of despair, doubt, and cynicism in many people today and in a lot of our youth. What is it that God really wants for us? Does He just want us to raise from the dead and go on living? Is that what hope really is? Where does true hope come from? Well, here's one answer. For $220,000, you can take your chances on a liquid nitrogen resurrection, if you want to try that. But I can give you a guarantee today that there is someone who has the power to bring you back to life and give you purpose. Amen. I recall a story in the Bible about another man you may have heard of. His name was Lazarus. And Jesus said to him, "Come forth out of that tomb." And he lived again. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn to John chapter 11. We're going to be in there for a little bit. While you're getting there, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. They were good friends, and so were his sisters, Mary and Martha. Though he was sick, Lazarus died before Jesus could make it to Bethany, where they all lived. And of course, we all know that Jesus could have healed Lazarus right from where he was. He did that with someone else, remember? But Lazarus was allowed to die anyway. Let's start in John chapter 11, verse 4. It says this, "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" It's for God's glory that he let him die. Now, when a body is cryogenically frozen, all right, the process has to begin within minutes of death, or it won't work. Time is of the essence, and this process, because of decomposition, right, and mainly to be able to preserve the brain before too much damage occurs, that brain we have been given, you know, that brain that we use sometimes, right, with all its neurons and its complexity, and as soon as it no longer receives oxygen and nutrients, cells begin to die, and so freezing it in a very rapid manner slows the destructive process down. But the longer it takes, the more damage occurs. And so that's why it is unsuccessful with some people. This is why Jesus wanted to see Lazarus. Excuse me, this is why he wanted to see, yes, but he waited. He waited to see Lazarus. He waited an additional 2 days, even though he knew he was sick, so he waited. In John chapter 11, verse 17, it says this, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how many days? 4 days. It's a long time. You can't cryogenically freeze anyone if you wait that long, right? He was surely dead, not a chance he was coming back. But when Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, he said to Martha, verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So she thought, you know, sometime down the road, I'm hoping for that. Verse 25, I think we got that. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" He asked her if she believed that before he performed a miracle. Do you believe this, even though you haven't seen it? Do you believe? Then Mary, her sister, found Jesus. And in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Even though Jesus had just stated, "I am the resurrection and the life," right? Do you believe this? He still wept at the death of his friend because Jesus hates death. And you can see that he never wanted his friend Lazarus to die. And he never wanted his friends Martha and Mary and the rest of their family to suffer that loss. See, we were never meant to pour our money and resources into trying to discover how to live longer. That's what we do, huh? But we were never meant to do that. We were made to live forever in the garden. We were supposed to be an eternal race of beings serving the Lord in relationship with him and following in the footsteps of the original man and woman. But then death took root in man after disobedience took place, and we call that original sin. And the root of all death that we experience is that. It is sin. And here we are today trying to figure out how to gain all that time back. And here is what the cryo people haven't yet understood, that even if they figured out how to revive bodies, they will never be able to deal with the true cause of death, sin in the world, the very reason their bodies succumb to disease and death, right? Our bodies will always give way to that superior power, whether sickness or disease or old age, and ultimately that leads to death. And since we must yield to these things, no matter how hard we try, we need a new body. Anybody want a new body? Amen. I do. I want one that lasts. We need a new creation. We need to be made a new creation. We need a greater power. We need a savior, not a freezer. Right? Jesus came to show us that power. Lazarus was as dead as a doornail. There was no bringing him back. And in verse 41 of John 11, here's what it says. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." What did he say? For the benefit of the people. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. Here is what the chosen frozen were all hoping for. All along, right here. They were looking for the knowledge and the power to bring life back. They haven't been able to do it yet with cryogenic freezing. But Jesus shows us that the power to bring back life is in him. And this brings us to the very thing we've been studying in our series on abiding in Christ. He said to abide in me, right? Let's look at John 15:5. And you can look at some of the rest of these in some of the previous sermons if you want to get caught up. But he said this. Let's look at this particular verse. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But look at this next part. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We have understood over the last few weeks in our studies that Jesus wants our lives to bear good things, right? Good fruit. But surely we can do things apart from him, right? I mean, actually, we don't exist without him. So really, there's nothing we can do. But we can do things without his input. A lot of the world lives that way, including devising ways of freezing our bodies for decades. We can try a lot of stuff without him. So what is he really talking about when he says, without him, you can do nothing? What he means is this, man's inability to save himself. There is nothing we can do about that. We are unable. We are incapable, no matter how good we live. Now, this is a wonderful story, and many of you have heard the story of Lazarus before, right? Lazarus raised to life, and we know Jesus had the power to bring life back. But if this is where Jesus had stopped, it wouldn't have been any different than if James Bedford woke up again. It would be no different than that. Lazarus died again, right? He died again. And so would James. If he woke up, he would die again. So Jesus didn't come here just to show us some cool tricks or to prove that he was smarter than all the leading doctors and scientists of our day. This is not about living and breathing for a little while longer on this earth. It's not what he's after. Jesus did this, and he demonstrated his power to show us who he really is. He is our Messiah, the Son of God and the Son of Man, God incarnate. Amen. So that we would also believe that he has the power to completely conquer death and bring us back to life forever. That we would then live in eternity in the presence of the Father, where there is no more sickness, there is no more tears, there is no more pain, and no more disease. Now that is something to put our hope in. Amen. And we know that Jesus was crucified and he was laid in a tomb, and 3 days later he rose again. Just listen, I want to read it for you in Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb where Jesus was laid. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about all of this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But those men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Amen. Did you know that there are over 500 verses in the Bible that point to the coming Messiah? And there are over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled by the life of Jesus Christ. I wish we could go through all of those right now. We'll go through some of those on Wednesday. If you want to come, we have a Bible study right in the foyer Wednesday night, 6:30. But I want you to hear one of them today. One of those prophecies. And it comes from Psalm chapter 22. Starting in the whole psalm really. But we're going to read starting in verse 27. And here's what it says. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before Him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship, and all who go down to the dust will kneel before Him. Listen to this. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Verse 30, posterity will serve Him. Future generations will be told about the Lord, and they will proclaim His righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, He has done it. That word posterity means future generations. It means the seed that comes from your life. Future generations will be told that He has done it. What God has done will be proclaimed throughout the generations, is what this prophecy is saying. And that is where you and I come into the picture. All right, God's plan is that we would place all our hope in Him, having proved Himself to us by His resurrection from the dead. And that we will then proclaim that hope to the next generation. That's what we get to do. Until when? Until, as the Bible says, He returns. He comes back. And then, at that time, not only will Lazarus be raised, but John 6:40 says this, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." His plan is to raise us all again. Is that exciting? But until that time, His plan is for you to go out and proclaim what He has done to the next generation and to the next generation until He returns. I want you to say this. Say, He has done it.
He has done it.
What has He done? What has He done that we are supposed to share? He has conquered sin and death through His death and resurrection. He has given us victory. Amen. Amen. Come on, if He could raise a body while He was alive, how much more can He raise us all from the dead, having been resurrected from the dead Himself? He can do it. I guarantee you that. That's where I would place my hope. The only question that remains today is, how will you be waking up? How will you be waking up from the grave? If you're interested in the freezer thing, I suggest you just stick your head in your freezer at home for a few minutes, and then you can see how that feels. But don't waste your money on misplaced hope. He has been given all authority. And so we don't have to fear death, even though our bodies will succumb to death. We don't have to fear death because we know the plan. He will raise us again. Do you believe this? Amen. I want to invite the worship team up. We have some young people who do believe this. And so we are going to enjoy some baptisms this morning on Easter Sunday. I am so excited about that. They want to proclaim that victory, so we're going to sing a song and have another special thing, and then we are going to do some baptisms. Would you bow your head with me as I pray? And then we'll close the service with worship and baptisms. And I want to thank you very much for being here today. Okay? I guess I'm not praying yet. I want to thank you very much for being here today. And I want you to take this message with you. God has a plan to change your whole life. We need to believe in Him. We need to follow Him. We need to seek Him more. And we need to proclaim what He has done. Amen? Amen. Lord, Your will has been to take us from death to life all along. That's Your plan. You want us to live just as we want to live. And You have made a way. You have made a way. Man tries to make a way, and man's ways come to nothing. Because we can do nothing without You. But You have made a way. You did it on the cross. You rose again to show us. Let us depend completely upon the name of Jesus for our salvation. Thank You for coming to this earth, our Emmanuel, and for living and for taking our burdens and our sins upon Your own shoulders and for crucifying them on the cross. For being in that grave for 3 days. For taking the keys of hell. And for having all authority brought to You, given to You. God, let us submit to that authority in our lives. Amen.